Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been a while since I was a kid, and it looks like maybe it's been a little while for some of you folks too. But I don't care how old you are, I'll bet you remember how it feels to be a kid walking around barefoot. Do you remember how it feels to come upon a patch of grass and to experience that cool grass with your toes, to wriggle your toes around in that grass? Do you remember how it feels to come upon a puddle with your bare feet and to wander out into the middle of that puddle? And perhaps at the bottom of the puddle, there's a little bit of mud, lovely, gorgeous mud to squish your toes around in. I remember that very well. Or perhaps you're at the beach and you take your shoes off and you wriggle your toes around in the hot sand. Do you remember that? There's nothing quite like that. And then, of course, if you're at the beach and you have your no shoes on, then of course you walk to the water line of the surf and you put your and then the salt water comes up and laps at your feet. And that again is another remarkable sensation. But then if you're a kid and you're wandering around your neighborhood and you have no shoes on, which is such a lovely, wonderful thing to do, there is the inevitable moment when you happen upon that patch of gravel. Do you remember that? That patch of gravel. When you're a kid parading around in bare feet, there is nothing worse than that patch of gravel, that gravel road. It makes you slow down. It makes you suddenly become very, very aware that there's the possibility that you could injure yourself, that some sharp stone may puncture the bottom of your feet. Beloved of Christ, one of the great joys of the Christian ministry is the opportunity one gets to ruminate over readings like the one we just heard. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that this morning's reading is one of the most powerful and enigmatic moments in the Old Testament. In a few short verses, a shepherder becomes the leader of a liberation movement. God assumes a new and enigmatic name, and the sweep of history is set in motion for the Israelites, for the Egyptians, and also for the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Let's not forget the Jebusites. Once Moses turns aside to see that great sight, nothing will ever be the same again. There's enough material here to keep a minister busy for many, many Sundays. And of course, the best way to wreck a sermon is to try to cover it all. Big mistake. So this morning, we're just going to talk about shoes, or rather, the lack thereof. Bare feet. Because among the many amazing things that this passage succeeds in doing, one of them is this. It makes bare feet a theological topic. After God gets Moses' attention, God says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." So the first two things that God says to Moses are orders. The first one is, come no closer. And that, I understand. Approaching God is a serious matter and should not be taken lightly. But what about this remove your sandals business? I have to think about this a little bit more. Here's something to consider. This idea of taking off your shoes in a holy place is the accepted practice in many of the world's religious traditions. If, for example, you go to a mosque, or to a Hindu temple, or to a Buddhist stupa, you will discover there a multitude of shoes, patiently waiting for their pious feet to return to claim them. The world over, when people go to worship, they take off their shoes. Why? Well, for one thing, ritual purity is often connected with physical cleanliness, so showing respect for the divine involves approaching without all of the dirt that you carry on your shoes. Another impulse behind these traditions, the one that I'm really interested in this morning, is this. Removing your shoes immediately changes a person's spiritual outlook. Remember my little interpretive dance that I did with the kids earlier. Channeling my inner child, I demonstrated two things that happen when you take off your shoes. The first is that your sensations are heightened. Cool grass, mud between your toes. The second is that you become vulnerable. Gravel. When you feel your environment more intensely, and you are a little wary that you might step on something sharp, you instinctively become more attentive. You slow down. Now let's get back to Moses. When God called this meeting with Moses, God had a big agenda. God said, "I observe the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from Egypt and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Amen. Yes. The matter at hand was one of great concern to God, and so God wanted Moses to approach the problem with the right attitude. God wanted Moses to be alert and mindful. God wanted Moses to be aware of the immediate danger. God wanted Moses to be attentive to the urgency of the situation. These are very spiritual imperatives. God wanted Moses' spirit to be finely attuned to the importance of the mission. This spiritual concern, though, and herein lies the beauty of this story, God's spiritual intention for Moses was achieved in a very physical way by awakening the shepherd's instincts, his sensations, his vulnerability. The role that God planned for Moses was not going to be easy. Immense geopolitical movements would be set in motion. Moses would encounter forceful opposition, suffer terrible setbacks. Large numbers of people would die. Hunger and plague and deprivation would beset his people. It would not be all mud and grass. The road would be mostly gravel. This is a reality that we all face in our lives. To live a spiritual life is to live a life that is awakened, alert, and heightened, vulnerable, and attentive. A spiritual life is a removed shoes life. A removed shoes life is a beautiful, free life. The grass is cool and the mud makes a wonderful squishy sounds between your toes. But the removed shoes life is also a vulnerable life, a gravel road life. Is it worth it? Is the spiritual life worth taking off your shoes and walking barefoot on a gravel road? I suppose the answer depends somewhat on what the stakes are that are involved. And God articulated the stakes in this way. God said, "I observe the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings." Are there any stakes that we face in the United States of America on this, the second Sunday in September 2019, that are worth taking off our shoes and venturing heightened, vulnerable, and attentive into the wilderness? Are there any concerns that are crying out to God? I think you can probably anticipate my answer. A few short weeks ago, on the first Sunday in August, we received news of a shooting in Dayton in which a man walked into a bar in Dayton at 1 a.m. carrying a semi-automatic weapon with a magazine that contained 100 cartridges. He started shooting at the crowd, and unlike other mass shootings in our country, it so happened that law enforcement was there at the moment that the shooting began. And within 32 seconds, the shooter was dead. But in those 32 seconds, 9 people were already dead. As Christians, we believe that every person is made in the image of God, that life is a sacred gift. So as Christians, we see 9 little parts of God extinguished in 32 seconds. They are not just 9 people. In those 32 seconds, our brothers, our wives, our neighbors, our children were killed. It's been sitting in the basement for the last 10 years. Dayton was only the latest shooting in a string of mass shootings that have occurred this year. The Wikipedia page for mass shootings in 2019 lists, as of September 4th, 344 people who have been killed in mass shootings in the United States. Today is the second Sunday in September. Today I take off my shoes with an awakened, alert, heightened, vulnerable, and attentive heart. I proclaim gun violence as a spiritual problem in this land that we must struggle to be liberated from. It may put us on a gravel road, but I believe the church must be unequivocal about pulpitizing these tragedies. God hears the cries of those who have been lost, and we do also. Amen.